leaders for their kindness and their willingness to allow me my time before you this morning. I, over the last few years, have had the opportunity to get to know some of your shepherds, and I have enjoyed that relationship. I enjoy spending time with this congregation, mostly because you pick on Nathan when I'm not here, and so I like that. I'm also honored by the introduction that to be mentioned in the same breath as my friend Nathan, and as one who loves God's word and wants to share God's word is always a privilege. And Nathan and Jeannie mean a lot to me. I've known them for a long time, and I hold them as very dear friends. So thank you for your time here. I want to ask, you know, we're told that we need to live like Christ. Anybody see those as big shoes to fill? Well, I sure do. Sinless, kind in every situation, loving in every situation, sacrificial in every situation. I find that a challenge in my life. It's something I strive for, but I find it a challenge. And even when I think of men like Moses, standing before Pharaoh, leading the people of Israel away from captivity, leading them through the wilderness wanderings, is big shoes to fill. Even if we try to emulate Moses as he lives like God. And even the New Testament men, Paul and Peter, when you look at the things that Paul went through, the persecution that he endured, the sacrifices that he had to make, I still feel like I fall short. Peter as well, I sometimes feel like I relate with Peter, impetuous Peter, right? Just kind of jumps in. And I appreciate that about him. But those are big shoes to follow. And I want to take us to a book in your New Testament today of a man that's just like us. You know, we look at these inspired men and we say, well, they were inspired people. They had the Holy Spirit. They walked with Jesus. They witnessed that. But I want you to turn to the book of Philemon this morning. This little book, this little letter, really, that sits between Titus and the book of Hebrews. In my Bible, it only takes up about one page. In your Bible, it may take up less than that. But the interesting part is that Philemon was a man just like us. As far as we know, he had no miraculous gifts. He wasn't endowed with any spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit. He never walked with Jesus, never saw him alive, as far as we know. But Paul has a relationship with this man and describes him in certain ways at the beginning of this book that I think we all would do well to emulate. You see, as we strive to follow those examples, as Philippians 3 says, he said, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern that you have in us. And it appears that Philemon is a man that followed that pattern. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 says, be imitators of me as I also am of Christ. And it appears that that's what Philemon was doing. And so I'd like to ask you to follow along in the beginning of this letter. We're really only going to deal with the first few verses, the first seven verses of this letter. But we're going to see some characteristics that Paul shares with us about this man Philemon. Notice in verse 1, he says, to Philemon, our beloved brother. The first thing that we understand about this is that Philemon was loved by Paul, that he was endeared to him, that their relationship was valuable to Paul, and he had a special affection for Philemon. He was a beloved brother. He looked at him in love. And I want to ask us today, are you loved by the brethren? Now, sometimes we sit and say, nobody loves me, right? Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat some worms kind of thing. But what's our responsibility in being loved? Don't we have a responsibility in that? Are we lovable? We don't ask ourselves that end of the question very often, do we? We put it on others and say, they don't extend love to me. They don't show me the love that Christians should show to me. And yet we don't ask ourselves, am I lovable? Do I make myself lovable? Do I extend love to others? Do I reach out? Or am I prickly? You know, kind of like that cactus that looks so pretty. I grew up in Arizona. There's some cactus that are just gorgeous. But you can't really touch them. You can't really pick them up and look at them carefully because they'll poke you. And sometimes our personalities can be that way, can't we? We can be abrasive. We can be those that are prickly and hard to handle. We can be those that are difficult to talk to, difficult, always kind of the wet blanket of the group. Doesn't appear that was the case with Philemon. He was loved by Paul. He was seen as a brother. Are you lovable? He goes on to say to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker. What an exceptional phrase in the New Testament. A fellow worker. This is a man that demonstrated that he was willing to go to work. When something needed to be done, Paul saw him as a fellow worker. It's very interesting. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, Paul reminds us that God has placed each of the members in the body, each one as he desires. Have you ever thought about that? That God has placed you as a member of this body here in Cary the way he desires you to be. You're here for a reason, to be part of this body, to be a fellow worker with brothers and sisters in Christ. And God puts you here. Why? Are you living out that intent that God had in your life? You know, as we look at Ephesians chapter 4, it says in verse 16 that the body is fitted and held together by the proper working of each individual part. That means each part of the body has a function. And the body works when each individual part functions properly. And sometimes we say, well, I'm just not a significant enough part of the body. You know, I'm just this little. You ever stub your pinky toe? That little toe on the side of your foot. You think that's really an insignificant part of my body, right? I mean, do I really even need it? And then in the dark, you catch it on a coffee table or on the edge of a sofa. Does it not let you know that it's part of the body? Right? And doesn't it remind you for the next couple of days as you take each step that I am a part of this body and I need to function properly in order for you? And what happens when that little pinky toe, you know, I actually broke mine one time. And it actually started to cause me problems in my knees. You know, I'm trying to favor that thing instead of putting all my weight on it, right? And after a while, my knee is giving me some grief. And because I'm walking goofy, my hip is out of way. And the next thing you know, you've got back problems. All because of a dumb little pinky toe, right? But isn't that the illustration that Paul is giving us? That there's the proper functioning of each individual part of the body. And it appears that Philemon was that fellow worker that Paul could count on to be a functioning part of the body. So again, let me ask you the question. Do your brothers and sisters here see you as a fellow worker? When there's work to be done, when there's things to do, that you're one of the faces that shows up, that you're one of the ones that jump in whenever you can to help. Now, I know we can't, you know, do everything. But are you seen as someone that helps with the work? And I imagine if I ask the elders to get up here, there's not a shortage of work to be done, is there? We kind of say, well, there's just not really anything for me to do. Really? As Christians in the world today, there's not enough work to be done? My guess is the elders can find works that need help. My guess is there's areas of the work of the church here that could use more people, right? Even if it's just the things that we do in our own neighborhoods, there's work to be done, and it seems that Philemon was one that would do it. You'll notice in verse 2 that the church actually met in his house. And so we see this concept of him working and sharing what he had. It appears he was a man of wealth, and he shared what he had with the church. But also notice as we move down, he says in verse 4, I thank my God, always making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and your faith which you have toward the Lord and toward all the saints. Paul hears of the love of Philemon. Now, that's an interesting concept, isn't it? Do people hear about your love for the Lord? We think, no, that's prideful for people to hear about what we do, but that's not the case, isn't it? I mean, if we're really having the impact in the world that we should be having, if we're really living like Christ, isn't word going to spread about this body of believers that works together here? That their love for the Lord is well known, not just here amongst each other, but even into our communities, even around the brotherhood. You know, I've heard of your love and your faith from Denver, Colorado. That's why I travel out here. I've heard of the work that you do as a congregation. And you should take pride in that. You should be excited about that. That people know about your love and your faith. And Philemon had love and faith, not just in the Lord, but also in the saints. Extending love toward one another as a body. Helping one another. We talked about it this morning in Bible class. Reaching that agape love for one another where others are more important than self. Becomes such a vital part of what we do. But it's also about a faith in our brothers and sisters, isn't it? He says his faith was well known. He had heard of his faith, which he had toward the Lord. Trust in God to lead his life. Trust in God to rule his life. But also faith, trust toward all the saints. Do we trust one another? Do we take time to get to know one another enough that we trust one another? That we believe in one another? That as a family here, we can lay our burdens together. You know, it talks about in the book of Hebrews, coming together here as a place of encouragement, right? Isn't that what Sundays and Wednesdays and the times that we spend together as a body are for? Is to encourage one another? We're all in the same fight. We all have the same struggles out in the world. We all have the same things pulling on us. We have the same culture trying to guide us and tell us that evil is good and good is evil. And we have these fights in political arenas and in social arenas and in secular jobs and in just the news media is constantly bombarding us with these messages that are against what we try to hold true. Where do we find shelter from that? Right here, right? Trusting and loving in one another. Sharing time with one another. Putting faith in one another to say, I'm struggling. You know, we're going to have an opportunity at the end of the sermon for you to come forward if you struggle. But it shouldn't just take an invitation at worship, should it? Shouldn't it just take spending time with one another and saying, brother, I'm really struggling with this particular part of my life. Can I trust you to help me? Can I trust you to keep that to yourself and maybe not share it with everybody? But help me in this. Pray with me. Keep me responsible. Hold me responsible. Those kinds of things are the things that I think Paul was talking about when he talks about Philemon's love and his faith in the saints. Do we share that time with one another? Do we invest in one another? And he says, as he moves to verse 7, I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love. You know, the relationship with Paul, and Paul's life has been pretty tumultuous, hasn't it? I mean, it's been filled with turmoil and trouble. He's been chased out. He's been shipwrecked. He's been beaten. He's been stoned. He's had to escape from brethren who were supposed to care about him. And yet he tells this man, Philemon, that he has found much joy and comfort in your love. Do you provide joy and comfort to others? That idea of joy, happiness. I mean, it really is this. It's more than that. It's more than just being happy. But true joy in spending time with you. You know, it's said that some people brighten up a room two ways. One by coming in and one by leaving. Right? Which one are you? Do people, when they see you coming, do they smile and can't wait to spend time with you and talk with you? And they look forward to seeing you? It's been a few days. I've missed you, brother or sister. How are things going? How are the kids? How's your life? What's going on? It's so good to talk to you. It's so good to feel the love that we share with one another. And that joy that we share as Christians, or are you one that people go, oh, here comes Michael. What a downer. What a wet blanket. It's always negative. You know, we talk about people that fill buckets and people that empty buckets, right? You kind of have this emotional bucket in your life. And there are people that fill your bucket, aren't there? You spend time with them and it energizes you. You spend time with them and you just feel like you get so much out of it. That they fill you up. And they give you the gas to keep on going. Yeah, they give you the fuel to keep on keeping on. And you just feel good when you've spent time with them and leave them. And then there are other people that empty your bucket. Right? Seems like they drain you as you spend time with them. The negativity. And I'm not just talking about sharing their problems, but they're always negative about things. They're always talking down about things. They're always kind of the Eeyore of the group, right? I love Eeyore, but he would be hard to spend a lot of time around, right? Everything's just kind of, oh, woe's me kind of thing. Which one are you? Do people find joy and comfort spending time with you? Do you extend comfort? What a cool idea. I need to tell you a story. When I first became a Christian, my wife, I came home from work one day, and my wife had fallen ill. We had a daughter who was about one at the time. I came home, and my wife is literally passed out on the floor. My daughter is sitting next to her crying when I come into the house. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't get her to respond. She could kind of respond, but I couldn't understand her words. My daughter is screaming. My wife is, I'm freaking out. Literally, you know, that panicky feeling in your chest where I'm not even sure what to do. I need to call 911. I need to have somebody help take care of my daughter. I called 911 and said, I need your help. And they said, we're on our way. And all I could think to do is call the church building. All my friends were there, and some friends answered the phone at the church building, and I said, Lynn's very sick. Melissa, I need help. And they said, be right there, and hung up the phone. You know, they beat the ambulance to my house. I think they broke a couple of laws doing it. But they actually got there before the ambulance did. And the first thing they did was snatch up my infant daughter and say, she's good, go deal with what you got to deal with. And as that was happening, the paramedics came and tended to my wife, and we went to the hospital. You know, I didn't think about my daughter for probably almost 10 or 12 hours after that. I mean, we were dealing with my wife's emergency and making sure she was okay. You think that provided comfort to me? To know that my brothers and sisters had my back, that I could trust them. They had so much love and faith in me, and I had such trust in them that I could hand them my infant daughter and go deal with my wife and know that she was okay. And it didn't really matter how long I was going to be gone. I could have been gone for days. Melissa would have been fine. See, that's the kind of thing that he's talking about here. You get joy and comfort from those relationships. Those things make, it's kind of like a warm blanket, you know? When you snuggle into that warm blanket, it just feels so comfortable. Does your love provide comfort for others? Do you help fill their bucket? Do you help them understand that as family, it's okay? You know, we don't always get along as family, right? You know, this passage in the Old Testament, iron sharpens iron. But did you know that in order to do that, you have to strike those two together so much that they're sparks? Right? You don't just tap two little pieces of iron together and they sharpen, right? You have to strike them. There's times when we don't get along. Families don't get along. Growing up, my sister and I fought, right? But we were always brothers and sisters. You know, we always got it together. And the same thing's true with the church. We need to seek to extend love and comfort to others. We need to be finding ways to reach out to each other, especially in those times of stress and strife in our lives. Those times when things are significantly out of control, that the brethren rally around and provide us with comfort in those times when our emotional state is volatile, when we're over the edge, where we maybe don't have as much control as we think we need. And the brethren can certainly provide that for us. Notice he goes on in verse 7 to say, he has found much joy and comfort in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. That idea of refreshment, that you provide refreshment. I grew up in Arizona. In the summer times, it's 115 in the daytime. There was nothing better than spending time. My buddies and I would be out riding bikes or playing football in the field. And it's so hot. And you get inside and you go to that refrigerator and you see that mom has made a brand new pitcher of lemonade that's ice cold, right? She used to get mad when I drank it right out of the pitcher, but that refreshment, that you're so parched, all you need is something to, and it's so cold that you actually feel it go all the way down, right? You remember that? It not only quenches your thirst in your mouth, but you can feel it in your throat and you can feel it in your chest and you just feel that coolness go all the way down your body. That's refreshment. It's not what the world says on TV commercials about refreshment, right? But that giving you what you need to the point where you can feel it nourish your body. And Paul says that Philemon's, the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by Philemon. In the fellow working, in the working together, in the showing love, in the showing comfort, in the showing joy, in the spending time, Philemon's one of those guys that just is like that cool glass of water that he just refreshes you. He recharges you. He gives you what you need. He fills your bucket. And when you're apart from him, you can't wait to spend time with him to recharge some more. Are you that person? Because it takes us thinking about being that person to become that person, doesn't it? Sometimes we just think about who can refill my bucket. We think about who can give me what I want. Are we looking to be the people that can give them what they want? Like, can we turn that around? And rather than say what I need and show what I want, can I look to them and say, can I give you? Can I show you what comfort is? Can I help you? Now, if we all did that, if we all flipped this around like apparently Philemon did, and rather than thinking of self, we thought of everyone else before ourselves. If we put everyone in this auditorium's needs and wants and desires and things that they need before our own needs, would our needs get met? They would, wouldn't they? Because we'd have 250, 300 people looking out for my needs anyway, right? So if we all just turn it around and look outward, it means other people will be looking to fill your bucket. You don't have to worry about filling your own. You don't have to be that person that thinks of just yourself. You can extend yourself out to others, and they'll extend themselves to you. And through that reciprocal relationship that Paul's talking about here, we all become refreshed. We all become energized. We all become recharged. Because we are seeking to help others. We're seeking those things that are outside of ourselves. It's very interesting that in verse 8 and 9, there's a situation with the slave Onesimus. That's why this letter is being written. And Paul wants Philemon to do something proper about that. But I want you to notice in verse 8 and 9 what Paul says about Philemon. He says, therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do what's proper, right? As an inspired apostle, impossible. As an inspired apostle, I could order you to do what's right in Christ. Could I not? As Paul said, he could order Philemon to do what's right. But notice what he says. But rather, I appeal to you for love's sake. Paul could trust that Philemon's a person that wants to do what's right. He doesn't have to order him to do what's right. He doesn't have to command him to do what's right. Philemon wants to do what's right. He just has to appeal to him in love and say, brother, you know the right thing to do. Sister, you know the right thing to do. Can I trust you to do it? And the answer is yes. Are you one that has to be ordered to do what's right? Are we one that have to be commanded to get involved? One of my favorites, favorites is a bad word here. Wednesday night Bible class. Is it commanded in Scripture? No. Shouldn't you want to be here? And I talk to Christians sometimes who don't come, and I don't know how many come or don't come here. But I talk to some Christians sometimes, and the answer is, show me the verse that says I have to be here on Wednesday nights. You mean you have to be commanded to want to know more about what God's will is? That you have to be commanded to study His Word? Really? That's where we are? There has to be a law that makes you want to worship again on Sunday night? God had to say, worship me twice. Didn't He do enough sending His Son? Shouldn't you want to do that? You see, that's the appeal that Paul's making here. Is he could command Philemon. He could tell him, as an apostle, I command you to do what's right and receive back Onesimus and take care of him the way you should. But he doesn't have to do that because he knows Philemon's character. He knows Philemon's heart. He knows that Philemon wants to do what's right. And so all he simply has to do is say, I appeal to you, brother, to do the right thing. And Philemon's going to say, of course. Right? So, for the sermon today, I'm just going to ask you, are you loved by the brethren? Are you lovable? Do you make yourself lovable? Do you extend love as well as expect to receive it? Are you a fellow worker? Do they see you as someone that labors side by side in the work of the Lord, in the work of the church? Are you there when the Lord needs you and the church needs you to get things done and to do the work that's available? Is your love and your faith known to others in this congregation? Do they see that agape love in you? Do they see the trust that you have, not just in the Lord, but in the brethren, in your brothers and sisters, in your spiritual family? You know, John said in John 13:35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. People know about your love and your faith. Does your love and your faith provide comfort to others? Do you seek to be that warm blanket for others? That security that others need in their times of stress? Are you refreshing to others? Do you seek to make your life one of encouragement to those around you? To refresh them when they need refreshment? To quench their thirst when they're thirsty? To help them when they're hungry? And I'm not talking about food and drink. And are you a person that can be expected to do what's right? Not because you're commanded, but because it's right. And you're seeking to follow God. I hope so. And I hope each one of us will take the time to focus on those things. To try to increase those things in our lives. But I want to end with verse 6. You'll notice that Paul says, I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing that is in you for Christ's sake. You see, he understood that there were good things in Philemon. And those good things were because of his relationship with Christ. Notice he says that they are effective through the knowledge, and we've been talking about knowledge this morning in Bible class and yesterday in James. Through a knowledge of every good thing that is in you for Christ's sake. We live for Christ. And I pray too that the fellowship of your faith here at the Cary Church of Christ will be effective for the Lord. That you will continue to love one another and work together and extend comfort and joy to one another so that you can change the world the same way Christ did. That's my prayer, is that your fellowship might be effective. There's some here today that maybe have been struggling with that. Maybe you used to be a fellow worker. Maybe you used to be involved more than you are now. And for whatever reason, you've just gotten distracted. Maybe the stresses of the world have pressed in on you so much so that you're not a person that extends love and joy anymore. You want to, we're here to help you. We'll study with you. We'll hug you. We'll put a warm blanket around you. The blanket of Christian love. that we have for one another, we can help. It's lonely out in the world. It doesn't need to be lonely here. It should never be lonely here. If we can help you in any of that way, please come forward. If you are not a Christian, if you have not obeyed the gospel, you stand outside of Christ. Let us show you the love of Jesus Christ in your life. Let us study with you. Let us teach you. Let us help you understand what it takes to have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism, that Jesus Christ's blood can cleanse you and that the Lord can add you to His church so that you can feel the love, the joy, and the comfort of the love of our Father. If you have that need, please come forward this morning as we stand and sing this song. I have